Thanks for listening to AM 620 KTOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now, coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Online at 620 KTOJ and on the air at AM 620 KTOJ.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Hello, of Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Our producer is Paul Pimentel. I am your host, Adam Klugman, and you are listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The phone numbers here are 1-866-452-0620 or 503-248-0620 or pound 620 from your AT&T wireless phone. Welcome. As I said, my name is Adam Klugman. The name of the show is Mad as Hell in America with me, and we have a great show for you tonight. And before we get into it, I want to talk about what's coming up. So let's start with the first hour here. We've got Peter Phillips and Mickey Huff from ProjectCensored.org, and every year they publish a book of the most censored stories of the prior year. So their book contains all of the most censored stories from 2010. And we're going to ask them, what is modern censorship? What is modern censorship? How does it express itself? And how can we be on the lookout for it when we see it? I have a few thoughts on that. At the top of the second hour, Executive Director from Americans United for Separation of Church and State, the Reverend Barry Lynn, will be here. And we're going to ask him, whatever happened to the religious right? Is it okay now? Can we all go back to sleep? Is the bad dream over? Or do we still need to be on the lookout? It seems like they've kind of flying under the radar. So he'll be here to help us ask that question. We're also going to ask him another important question, which is, why can't progressives talk about God? Why is God the domain of conservatives? How did that happen? And I think that's an important question. It's a question that really comes up a lot for me. In the third hour, we have an exclusive interview with Dennis Kucinich. And we're kind of putting an interesting frame on it, because a question that comes up a lot for me in the political arena. I consider myself a progressive, and I, as kind of distinct from what I see coming out of the Obama administration and the Democratic Party, what are progressives to do? Is it time to start losing on principle and gathering critical mass, or is it time for us to continue to kind of make the same fatal compromise and not get what we really want? And we're going to use Dennis Kucinich's vote for President Obama's health care plan as a way of talking about it. And I have a very candid interview with him coming up. But before we get into even any of that, I feel like I have an obligation to define what I mean by mad as hell. I get a lot of pushback on it as I've been promoting the show. And surprisingly, I get a lot of pushback from progressives who feel like, well, I'm not really entirely comfortable being mad as hell. And can mad as hell be a force for social change? And isn't there enough anger in the political marketplace? Well, my answer to the question of whether or not mad as hell can be a force for social change is absolutely. It may be the only force we have left. But I want to make a very important distinction. I make a very important distinction between rage and anger, between rage and mad as hell. You see, rage is always destructive. When I think of rage, I think of violence, and that is not what mad as hell is about, and that's not what anger is about. Let's take a look at the Tea Party. The Tea Party looks like a mad as hell movement, you see, but it's not. It's really just a populist rage party. And you can always tell when something has moved from mad as hell to rage by looking at the agenda. Let's look at the agenda of the Tea Party. What is it? To dismantle the government, to destroy it. But we don't need to dismantle our government. This would be a complete failure of imagination. We don't need less government or more government. It's not about quantities. It's about the quality of our government. We need better government, one that puts the interests of the people over the interests of big business. And just in case you're wondering who's going to run that government I'm talking about, it's not going to be Barack Obama, and it's not going to be Sarah Palin or Newt Gingrich or Glenn Beck, God help us. it's going to be you and me, because we are the government. So if you have a problem with the government, just look in the mirror. But anger is a normal, healthy human emotion. And when it's channeled properly, it can change the world. In fact, it's probably the only thing that ever has. Gandhi was mad as hell at the English. He didn't act out in rage and destruction, but he didn't throw his anger away either. He listened to it, and it led him to the greatest discovery of the 20th century, what he called ahimsa, a truth force, so powerfully aligned with the principles of justice and human dignity that he used it to turn over 300 years of English imperialism without firing a single bullet. That's the kind of anger I'm talking about. That's the power of mad as hell. Because anger is an appropriate response to being treated like a second-class citizen. It's an appropriate response to being lied to. It's an appropriate and necessary response for transforming our world. That anger belongs to you. It's trying to tell you something. And what it's trying to tell you is to do something. It's not the end. Like rage, it's the beginning of an individual creative response to the crisis of our world and our country. All of existence is waiting for you to respond, for me to respond. Imagine a billion people using their imagination and creativity to take a stand for injustices that make them mad as hell. Don't ever let anyone talk you out of it, because if you follow it, if you listen to it, it will lead you to something extraordinary and unexpected and absolutely essential to your own evolution and the evolution of our species. So I want to play you a clip. It's from my favorite movie of all time, and it's the genesis of mad as hell in this country. It's called Network. It was made in 1976, and it's going to run us right up to the break, but I think it's absolutely essential that we play it in its entirety, because it was made 24, 25 years ago, but it's more relevant today than it was when it was first made. Let's roll it, Paul.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressmen, because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
That is absolutely the anthem for our time. And what strikes me more than the catchphrase, I'm as mad as hell, is when he says, I'm a human being, my life has value. We've been dehumanized by a system that treats us like we don't matter, but we do matter. And we rehumanize ourselves when we get mad as hell and demand to be treated like we do matter. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get mad as hell. I want you to think about something that makes you mad as hell. And I want you to get it ready, and I want you to call me here at the station. I'm going to put you on the air, and I'm going to give you 60 seconds of uninterrupted time. Here are the phone numbers. 1-866-452-0620. Or 503-248-0620 or pound 620 from your AT&T wireless phone. What makes you mad as hell? Is it Wall Street? Is it endless war? Is it the BP oil debacle and cover-up? Is it the Tea Party? The environment? How about cuts in education? How about BP and absolutely everything that we eat and drink? Or how about this recent decision in Montana? The RNC has made a platform out of making homosexuality illegal.
It's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
That's Rage Against the Machine, a song called Wake Up, one of my favorite Rage songs of all time. Welcome back to the debut of Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Our producer is Paul Pimentel. I'm your host, Adam Klugman, and you are listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The numbers here are 1-866-452-0620, 503-248-0620 or pound 620 from your AT&T wireless phone. I wanted to make one more point about what Mad as Hell is really about, because Mad as Hell is about a human potential movement for me. It is about relocating the center of power within ourselves and not deferring it to the convenient heroes and or villains of the day, right? Barack Obama can't do it for us, and Glenn Beck can't take it away from us, unless, of course, we give them our power. You see, that's what they are really afraid of in Washington. They are afraid that we will wake up and remember where the power really is, right here, with me, with you, curled up at our side, just waiting for permission to be released. That's what Mad as Hell is all about for me. But before I ask you to do Mad as Hell, I think I should do Mad as Hell. But at the bottom of this hour, we're going to have Mickey Huff and Peter Phillips from Project Censored, and we're going to ask the question, what is modern censorship? And then we're going to have the Reverend Barry Lynn at the top of the second hour. Is it safe to go back in the water? Whatever happened to the religious right? Are they still out there? Should we still be afraid, or can we go back to sleep? And of course, my exclusive interview with Dennis Kucinich, talking about his decision to vote for the president's severely compromised health care bill, even after he had said he would stand and vote on principle. So, what am I mad as hell about? Well, there's a whole lot of things I'm mad as hell about, but here's what I chose to talk about today. And it relates to what I was talking about in the first segment. I'll tell you what I'm mad as hell about. I'm mad as hell that conservatives are continuing to dominate the political conversation in this country. Have you noticed that? We have the House, we have a majority in the Senate, we have a Democratic administration, and yet somehow a few of the most vocal, or I might say loud-mouthed conservatives in the House and the Senate, people like John Boehner, people like Mitch McConnell, people like Michelle Bachmann, Jan Brewer, who's the governor, and Sarah Palin, seem to be dominating the political conversation. And I really have to know why this is happening. Now, I think it's, at first, I started to want to blame other people. I wanted to blame it on Fox. I wanted to blame it on the media. I wanted to blame it on the Supreme Court. I wanted to blame it on the president. And you know, I even wanted to blame it on my mother. But the truth is, it's my fault. And it's your fault. It's all of our faults. And it's all of our responsibilities as progressives. Because in the vacuum of a progressive response to what really has amounted to an extension of Bush-era policies, these kind of corporatist policies, both foreign and domestic, in has walked this false populism in the vacuum where a truly progressive grassroots response should be, one that would hold this president accountable, one that would hold the Democratic Party accountable, something that looks like a mad as hell movement, that feels like an honest mad as hell movement. But you see, We have failed. We've fallen down on the job. And we've allowed them to manufacture a response for us. You see, let me give you an example. Paul Street, who's going to be a guest here on the show, has written a book called The Empire's New Clothes. And in it, he basically kind of puts forth the idea that the Obama presidency is really just a rebranding effort. And that what we've got is a lot of people in the progressive community who are just kind of rolling over and being complicit with what's going on in the Obama administration. For example, what were the first two energy gestures that this president made? The first one was to secure loans for nuclear energy. And the second one was to grant permits for offshore oil drilling off the northeast coast of this country and in Alaska. But when the oil rig exploded into the sky and started hemorrhaging oil into the bottom of the ocean, you'd think an organization like the Sierra Club would be all over it. But it took them 11 days to put the news of the BP spill on their site because they didn't want to make the Obama administration look bad. It got to the point where finally Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake declared, quote, the progressive movement is dead. Do you think that's true? Is it true? I don't know, but I don't see a pulse out there. I don't see us really standing up. And in our place is something as phony and insincere as Cheese Whiz. This movement is nothing more than something gastrointestinal. Because in the absence of our response as progressive Americans and as plain old Americans, this one that has invented for us is not been invented by the people who have our interests at heart. And so I want us to be really clear about who we are up against. And this time, when I say we, I don't mean Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Tea Parties. I'm talking about how whoever you are, we are all together. We are not up against each other. We are up against a corporate seizure of our government. We're not up against Muslims. We're not up against Jews. We're not up against Christians. We're not even Tea Parties, progressives, libertarians. We are up against a group of corporations who have seized every branch of our government and seek to extract the blood and wealth of our people by repealing the 20th century and dismantling the regulatory mechanisms, the educational institutions, and the social safety nets that keep all our citizens from a 21st century free fall that will make the Great Depression look like a poorly attended Christmas party. We're in trouble. We have to wake up. And I know I've been kind of banging on the Tea Party, but I know there are a lot of Tea Party people out there who are genuinely mad as hell. But my issue with them is that they're just looking at the wrong target. The target is not the government. This has been manufactured by people like Dick Armey, by people who work for FreedomWorks, by Ari Fleischer, by the Koch brothers. They are doing something that Thomas Frank calls marshalling public outrage to achieve economic ends. That's what this dismantling the government is all about. The government is not the enemy. We are the government. We need to reclaim our government, and we need to understand that we are all being fleeced by the same people. And we need to come together under the banner of Americans, and we need to identify the common enemy. And that is the complete and total corporate seizure of our government. These are radical views, but I hold them to be true, and I will defend them to the end. Thanks for listening. Coming up, your Mad as Hell calls. Get ready.
You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Getting Mad as Hell with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Courtney Vincent of some sort or another.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Our producer is Paul Pimentel. I'm your host, Adam Klugman, and you're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only talk radio station. Phone numbers here, 1-866-452-0620 or 503-248-0620 or #620 from your AT&T wireless phone. We are going to be going to your mad as hell calls right now. But first, quick update. In the next segment, we're going to have Peter Phillips and Mickey Huff here to discuss what is modern censorship. We've got the Reverend Barry Lynn. We've got an exclusive two-part interview with Dennis Kucinich. And we have Margaret Flowers and Paul Street in the end to help us kind of bat things home. But right now, we're going to go to your calls. Let's go to Sean in Battleground.
Hey, it sounds like a book that might fit this show perfectly would be Brightsided by Barbara Ehrenreich. And now I'll spend the rest of my time attacking Wall Street. About 6 months ago, there was a race held of luxury cars from New York to Montreal. It was all 30-somethings and 40-somethings. They were all stockbrokers and market makers and floor traders. And this is on a planet where people are starving to death every day. And these are the people who support this system. While we shouldn't vilify one group of people, we have to understand these are the people that support the capitalist system. Everyone knows that the maniac Ahmadinejad is controlled by the mullahs of Iran. Our political parties are controlled by the mullahs of Wall Street. And nothing is going to change until we take on Wall Street directly. That would be my case against Wall Street.
Sean, I think that's a really good point. I think that there are all kinds of fundamentalisms. There's religious fundamentalism, right? And there's corporate fundamentalism. And I think that what we're dealing with and what we're kind of standing on the dawn of this kind of corporate fundamentalist age, where if we don't take a stand against these kind of the absolute free market policies that say whatever's good for the market is good for the planet or good for the country, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Thanks for your call, Sean. We're going to move on. We got a few calls. Ben in Aloha, what are you mad as hell about? Ben in Aloha, what are you mad as hell about?
Hello, Adam. I'm mad as hell that the politicos, the candidates that we've got out there now, are complaining every week about not having money for different programs, education, our economy is in a mess, and the environment, there's no money for that. And not one of them is speaking out about the insane spending that we're doing in the Middle East on material for war. Each one of them should be called out on that. And I don't care what they're running for, what office they're running for. They want to be leaders, and let them speak and lead out and motivate people to get that stopped.
Ben, what do you think about the president declaring that combat operations are over in Iraq, and yet 50,000 troops remain, and the largest American embassy ever built in the history of the world is still there? Are the combat missions over? Are we really out of Iraq? I don't know.
If you're in uniform and you're outside the continental U.S. or outside of the U.S. or its possessions, you're a combat troop, and I mean your senses are going to change as soon as you step outside. It's like leaving home. The thing in Iraq, the embassy there, that's an edifice to George Bush, and I think it ought to be turned into condominiums and given to the Iraqis.
I love it. Ben, thanks so much for the call. We're going to move on. Alyssa in Portland, what are you mad as hell about?
I love it. Ben, thanks so much.
Alyssa, welcome to the show. What are you mad as hell about?
What are you mad as hell?
Alyssa's gone. David in New York City, what are you mad as hell about?
Hi, am I on the air?
You're on the air. David in New York, what are you mad as hell about? It says you're Glenn Beck.
Great to hear you. I came upon your website a few weeks ago, and I've been waiting for your show. You know, I'm mad as hell about a lot of things, but what I'm really mad as hell about is after 8 years of corrosive Bush administration, I voted for a guy who promised to get certain things done, and all he keeps telling us is that, I want to get these things done, but they won't let me. I mean, this guy's working with a majority, so I don't get who the they is. It makes me feel like I'm getting fleeced somehow. You know, like, for instance, Gitmo was supposed to be closed, but last thing I read informed me that it had a $30 million facelift. So, I don't know, maybe you could speak to that in some way. I'll leave it at that and just, hang up, listen to you, and just say it's great to hear your voice on the airwaves and just to hear people like you out there fighting the good fight.
David, thanks for the call. You know, I this is one of my pet peeves. I think he brings up a really good point, this idea that, boy, we really want to be progressive, but the big, mean Republicans and those conservative Democrats just won't let us. I just think that that is flatly untrue. You know, my philosophy is that people do what they want to do. And if we wanted to be passing progressive legislation in the Senate, we could be doing it if we had a Democratic Party that was truly progressive. But the point is, we don't. You know, Harry Reid could be passing progressive legislation after progressive legislation in the Senate with 51 votes through reconciliation votes, but he doesn't, because he knows he doesn't have it, because the Senate is bought and paid for, David. That's the point. The point is that this presidency in many ways is bought and paid for. Just look at the way the health care was handled. I want to move on. We got another call. Mark in Tualatin. What are you mad as hell about?
Well, the media, I mean, I tell you, you stirred me up with the clip of that movie. I mean, it distract, mystify, baffle us, keep us off balance, focus on trivial stuff. You know, one of your callers, Ben, there focuses on the war every week in Afghanistan elsewhere. He does a great job.
Yeah.
For me, it just drives me crazy that the media has so many important things on its plate. It just wants to sell eyeballs. It doesn't focus on stuff. And you've been focusing on a lot of real important matters, but God, it just really irritates me.
You know, it irritates me too. And you know, I think that the media distracts us, but it's our job. And I'm someone who thinks we really have to take responsibility as progressives to make sure that we put our voice out there. We have to stay undistracted. We have to stay focused. And we have to get mad as hell. And we have to figure out the thing that really speaks to us. And then we have to get busy on that, because whatever it is that makes you mad as hell may probably be very individual to who you are. Let it make you so mad that it prompts you into action. That is the whole point. Don't let the media distract you. Don't be fooled by this argument of, oh boy, we wish we could be progressive, but those mean old blue dog Democrats just won't let us. It's not true. It's not true. What is true is that the whole system, the entire system, is bought and paid for, particularly the Senate. Are there any more calls, Paul? So look.
Not yet.
Thank you. So look, I really appreciate your calls here. I want you all to think about what makes you mad as hell. I want you to get that in your head. I want you to start to think about it. I want you to trust what makes you mad as hell. I don't want you to move into rage. I want you to stay mad. I want you to get mad. I want you to stay mad. And I want you to figure out a way that you can give them hell, because they have to hear from us in Washington. And mad as hell is the one thing that scares them the most. Thanks for listening. We'll be back right after the break.
It's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
I've got a feeling deep inside, oh yeah.
Now, back to Mad as Hell in America with Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
Sing a song.
If the sun reveals a shine.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. This is our debut show. Our producer is Paul Pimentel. I'm your host, Adam Klugman, and you're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The numbers here are 1-866-452-0620 or 503-248-0620. or #620 from your AT&T wireless phone. And now we have our first guests. There's Peter Phillips and Mickey Huff from ProjectCensored.org. But before we get to them, I want to tell you what's coming up in the third hour. We are going to have Dennis Kucinich, an exclusive interview with Dennis Kucinich, as well as the Reverend Barry Lynn from Americans United for Separation of Church and State. But right now we have Peter Phillips and Mickey Huff on the line from an organization called ProjectCensored.org. Every year they publish a book of the year's most censored stories. Their latest book, Project Censored 2011, is just hitting the stands, and I must say it is a must-read for anyone who wants to know what's actually going on in the world. Also, their website is an amazing resource, and I use it all the time when I guest host for the Mad as Hell here on KPOJ. We have Peter Phillips, who is a professor of sociology and was the director of Project Censored from 1996 to 2009, and the current director, Mickey Huff, who is an associate professor of history at Diablo Valley College. He is current director of Project Censored and the Media Freedom Foundation. They're both found online at ProjectCensored.org and MediaFreedomInternational.org. Gentlemen, welcome.
Welcome, man. Thank you for having us, Adam. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you guys on the inaugural program, and we're going to get into a question about what modern censorship is. But before we do, Peter, why don't you tell me, since you've been around the longest there, why don't you tell me a little bit about the organization, why it was started, ProjectCensored.org, Media Freedom International. Peter? All right, we're having a little trouble with Peter. Mickey Huff, associate professor of history at Diablo Valley College. Tell me a little bit about the genesis of Project Censored.org, what it is, how it got started, and why.
Right, well, the project started, it was founded by a communications professor at Sonoma State University, Dr. Carl Jensen, and it was founded in 1976. Jensen was looking back over the Watergate fiasco and was wondering, given what was known at the time, how Nixon won in a landslide 1972 election. So he went back and checked over, and of course what he found out was that the corporate media had totally failed on that question, even though they, you know, came swooping in and claiming all the glory later. But it was the underground, independent, alternative media that had been looking into these things. And Jensen wondered, wow, what if that information really made it widespread? What if America knew all the things that were really being reported by real muckraking journalists rather than what the corporate media were doing? So that spawned the project. And each year he would have students and professors do research and look at these undercovered or underreported stories and check them for factual accuracy and so forth. And then he grew that into an annual book by 1993. Carl was in charge for 20 years before he turned it over to Peter Phillips. And Peter grew the book and grew the project. We're now Project Censored International. We have over 30 colleges and universities doing this kind of research, fact-checking, vetting of underreported stories. And I had the good pleasure of taking the helm just this past year.
Great. Peter Phillips, you're back on the line. Is that right?
Yeah, here I am.
Fantastic. Glad to have you here. Peter Phillips, professor of sociology, and was the director of ProjectCensored.org from 1996 to the summer of 2009. Peter, tell me a little bit. On your website, you talk a lot about trying to answer the question, what is modern censorship? What do you mean by modern censorship, and how do we distinguish it from some censorship that isn't modern?
Well, the old Latin censura was really a term for government controlling news and media, and it's quite widespread. When we say censorship, we mean any interference with the free flow of information. With as many newspapers, news information sources there are in the world, they're dominated by the corporate media, and most people in the country get their news from television news, essentially. And that creates a problem in that television news is in the entertainment business, and they're not in the informing the public business about what the powerful are doing. So that leaves huge gaps. So we have no problem finding very important news stories every year that the corporate media hasn't covered. So we think that's a vital service, and we're going to continue to do that worldwide.
Peter Phillips, Mickey Huff from ProjectCensored.org. Mickey, help us kind of give us the nutshell definition when we say that, because it's thrown around a lot. How does the corporate media censor information?
Well, the corporate media censors information simply on the basis of the structure in which it exists. Noam Chomsky and Edward Herman wrote a book over 20 years ago called Manufacturing Consent, a term taken from Henry Bernays and other early American propagandists. And it talks about how the market and the capitalist economy impacts and affects what businesses that are in information dissemination have all encompassing and how they determine what gets reported and what doesn't in a top-down model. In other words, how do the owners of the press and the advertisers, where they make their money, how do they influence decisions in the editorial room? So these are the kinds of things that significantly influence how things are reported or why they're reported. And censorship, as Peter was alluding to, is not necessarily just the black hand out of the sky that comes and disappears a story. It includes framing, attacking and labeling, a follow-up avoidance and questioning, a sliding of content, the continuous use of fallacies, red herrings, straw persons, ad hominem attacks, and so forth, to create a sort of a top-down, managed news propaganda that dictates a grand narrative in real time. And that's what passes for news in America.
ProjectCensor.org, MediaFreedomInternational.org are the sites. We're talking to Peter Phillips and Mickey Huff. All right, so let's move on to the book. You guys have recently published a book. Peter, why don't you take it? Tell me a little bit about the book you just published.
Well, this is one of the largest books we've ever done. It's 480 pages. It's entitled Censored 2011. It encompasses the top 25 most important news stories of corporate media ignored last year. These were selected by over 200 students and faculty at 30 universities worldwide. So there's massive input here. The stories are significant. They impact everybody's lives. They impact, you know, they're telling what the powerful are doing. And like our story, our most important story, one of the ones is how the U.S. military is a leading polluter in the world.
Mickey, you want to elaborate on that one?
Well, yeah, you know, the U.S. military is responsible for the most egregious widespread pollution of the planet. Yet this information and this documentation of this goes almost entirely unreported in corporate media. And again, you look at the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about almost 50 years ago. And, you know, in spite of all the evidence of the environmental impact of the U.S. military, the corporate media almost never report this. Their advertisers are very interlocked with the boards of directorates, with a lot of the military-industrial complex companies and so forth. You know, the U.S. military uses over 320,000 barrels of oil a day.
Yikes.
And that does not include contractors, okay? It does not include the use of oil. That's only oil. We also have depleted uranium, tens of thousands of pounds of microparticles in the Middle East, Central Asia, and the Balkans that continue to wreak havoc and cause cancers for generations. We're 35-odd years on after Vietnam, and dioxin contamination there is 400 times higher than safe levels. This is a direct result of the U.S. Military invasion and occupation of that country that killed almost 3 million people. The nuclear weapons testing in American Southwest and Pacific Islands and Guam and all the downwind contamination has caused serious health risks and so forth to people there and booming cancer rates and so on. And again, this all goes on as sort of an adjunct or a side note or a footnote to American global dominance. You know, the military isn't just going to places and killing a million Iraqis. They're destroying the ecosystem simultaneously, and they are unregulated, and they do not have to technically report fully under U.S. law because of the things that they do abroad.
ProjectCensor.org is the invaluable website where you can get this information. Where can people get this book? Peter Phillips, Mickey Huff, we're running out of time. Where can people get this book?
Well, the easiest way right now is to order it online from ProjectCensor.org. We'll send it to you in 24 hours. And there's going to be appearing in bookstores all over the country.
How can people notice it? Is there a quick tip for people to notice it when they're watching TV? I mean, I have a few things that I've caught in the past. How do you know when you're watching TV or you're listening to the radio that something's getting censored?
The fact that it's on.
Gentlemen, Peter Phillips, Mickey Huff, ProjectCensor.org, MediaFreedomInternational.org, thanks for the extremely important work that you guys are doing. Thanks for coming on the inaugural program of Mad as Hell in America. I really, really appreciate it. I hope you guys will come back, yes?
Absolutely.
Oh, great. Thank you. You are listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. The numbers here are 503-248-0620 or 1-866-452-0620 or #620 on your AT&T wireless phone. What makes you mad as hell? That'll be coming up soon.
You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.